Last week, we learned chapter 48, Perek Mem Ches. Tonight, we're going to learn Perek Mem Tes. But in order to understand Mem Tes, we need to first go back and recap what we learned in Mem Ches. The goal, just to keep your eye on the ball, we're talking about how one can come by loving Hashem. Okay? He's so esoteric, he's so removed, he's so out there. How do we make it real? So, the Baal Tanya introduced the concept of tzimtzum. Okay? Tzimtzum is not a type of chewing gum. It is how the Ribbono Shel Olam goes about creating the world by emanating air, energy, godly energy from himself. But due to the fact that that godly energy comes with the full power of Hashem's being, and nothing would be able to survive in the presence of that full power, so the Ribbono Shel Olam holds back. He restrains the full amount. The example, the popular example, I didn't mention it last week, but the popular example is actually something that happened in this neighborhood some years ago. And that is a concept in electricity called the transformer. What the transformer does is it allows the full power of the electric flow to come from the electric company, and then it takes it and steps it down. It brings it down to a lower voltage. And what happened with the one on 50th Street is that the transformer broke. The result of it was that we got full-fledged electricity, and what happened was that all of our appliances turned into toasters, ovens, refrigerators, everything. Remember, everybody lost their things. Why? Because we needed a mashal for Tanya. That's why the whole thing happened. So what happens is that once that energy flows fully without constraint, creation cannot exist. And there's a whole machlekes, one of the main points of argument between the Baal Shem Tov and his Talmidim, and the Vilna Gaon and his Talmidim, and not his Talmidim, actually the Vilna Gaon himself, his Talmud actually agreed with the Baal Tanya, was when it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu removed himself from the picture, whether that means he actually somehow Kaviyochel Taka removed himself from the picture, or is it so to speak, removed himself. And this became a big argument. The Goyen says that when the Arizal wrote that, he meant literally that Hashem created, vacated himself from the spot. Baal Tanya argued that that's heresy. You're not allowed to say it. And the Nefesh HaChaim, the disciple of the Vilna Goyen, agrees with the Baal Tanya, which is fascinating in this area. Not totally, Tzuriel says. However, there are those who want to suggest that the Rav Geltzeler brings a letter from Rav Dessler about other things that the Nefesh HaChaim agreed with the Talmid Baal Shem. Anyway, bottom line is, here's the real thing. So he described two types of godly energy. One of them is called an Ara Soiviv, an enveloping, not God forbid that it's in space enveloping. We have this image of a fireball, like hovering above the world. It's not in space. But there is a concept which is integratable into the Bria, into creation, and that which can't become integrated. I gave a mashal last week that I saw in the Derech HaMelech from the Piyosetzin Rebbe, that we have a similar thing in the human being. Neshamas. How much neshama can each of us absorb? And that depends on where we're at, what our madrigas at, where we're at on a level of serving Hashem. A person who's a holy Jew, or like it says, Yom Kippur, by Nila, we're all gifted the gift of Yechida. So there, we have all five levels of Neshama. Generally speaking, when we're out and about doing our thing, so we have lower levels of Neshama. Some people only have the level of a Neshama of their pet cat and dog, which is a Nefesh. And it's brought that people like that shouldn't eat meat because they're on the same level as their Bessie the cow and so on. So that's a mashal for us to understand the distinction between a hovering, meaning all of us have all five levels of neshama. They're just not inside of us. They're around us. They're above us. They're enveloping us. Whereas greater people have greater level of neshama, and that in turn gives them the ability to be able to see the kinds of things that many of us can't see. The tzaddikim are able to perceive things that are events that are taking place at great distances. The Maharnayim writes, and he was a disciple of the Baal Shem Tov, and it's not a storybook. The Maharnayim brings in the Sefer Maharnayim that he saw with his own eyes that the Baal Shem Tov would look into a Sefer and be able to see from one end of the world to the other. In turn, we can look into a Sefer from today till tomorrow, and we're lucky if we see the letters that are in the Sefer. Right? So what's the difference? The difference is how much neshama a person is able to take into himself. But the critical point that was brought across in chapter 48 is that in order for the Ribbono Shel Olam to create the world, he had to diminish his presence to incredible proportions. I once heard Rav Moshe Weinberg give a shiur. So he says, who made the first Chilul Hashem? So, you know, all kinds of people guessing. Adam Rishon, Lot, the Dor HaMabul. He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Chilul means a vacated space. The Ribbono Shel Olam, in order to create the world, had to vacate godliness. If he didn't vacate godliness, there was no room for a world to exist. Okay? Now, with that introduction, let's go to page 136. Perek Memtes. Vihine, says the Baal Tanya, Af ki prote b'chines ha-hester v'ahelem, Orin soif baruch hu. Even though the details of the concealment of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu conceals himself, and again he's using the terms Orin soif baruch hu, meaning the infinite light of God. So the Ribbono Shel Olam restrains, he holds back this godly light. So that process, b'hishtal shel esaylam, is in the creation and the chains of the worlds. Ad shenivro elam hazeh agashmi atzmai. I'm sorry. Ad shenivro elam hazeh agashmi. Meaning, how many chains, how many links there needed to be in the chain, leading up to the point where, from an infinite God, there can become a finite, limited world. How many steps did that take? He says, Atzmo Misapir. There are too many. There are too many steps. They can't be counted. It's limitless. Not only are the numbers of steps limitless, Uminim Iminim Shainim Kidur, there are so many different types of constraints of godliness, of godly light. Kidur, the Tiyamim Etzachayim, like anybody who has tasted from the tree of life knows that's a reference to the works of the Arizal, to the works of Kabbalah. Ach derech klal, he says, however, we can really summarize. Hem shloshim minim tzimtzumim, there are three types of withholdings, three types of constraints. Atzumim, that are incredible, meaning very, very powerful. Klalim, general. So there are three general powerful forms of withholding. Lishleishim in Yalamas Kolayim, and they refer to three celestial worlds. B'chol klal yeshiribir above his pratim. You need to know that in each one of these three worlds, there are hundreds of thousands of details. V'hem shleisha elamis. This refers to the three worlds called Bria, Yitzira, Asiya. Okay, meaning, because the first world, who are the Kus Mamish? He says, I'm not even referring to the first emanation that comes out, which is called Atzilus, which is a world of absolute godliness. I'm not even going to refer to that as a constriction. Okay. However, and here's where it gets down to where it speaks to us in practical terms. I told you last week that this was going to come down to a in-your-face. Here it is. In order for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to create this very first world of creation. What's in that first world of Bria? Shehen Neshamas. You know what's created in Olam HaBria? Souls. Umalochim el yonim, the highest angels. Asher avidosim l'Hashem b'pchines chachma bina das, that their service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu was on the highest intellectual levels, hamislabshim bohem, that are able to be enclosed in those types of angels. Ve'masigim u'mekablim mehem, and they are able to receive these great celestial forces. That is hayatchilat tzimtzumatzim k'nis ba'alel. Even that level, where a being is on some level able to comprehend godliness, you got to understand that very fact, that there is an existence that can comprehend some form of godliness, is already, by definition, an impossibly incredible limiting of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How can it be that any source, any type of finite being can grasp God on any level? It must be that even that very first celestial world already is a tremendous limitation. For sure, v'chein mebriya liyetzira, they're from going from that world to the next world, ki or ma'at mizeir, because the light which is allowed to flow through from the world of Bria to the world of Yetzira is etvas, it's a drop. He says, compared to the world below it, the world above it is virtually infinite. That's how stark the difference is between the amount of godly energy allowed to flow through. Okay? V'ef shalis labish boy, and therefore it could not be enclosed in the next word, elayu de tzimtzum v'helam, through more process of holding and concealment. V'chein yitzir al-asi, and certainly from the world of yitzir to this world, our world of asiya. K'moyish echte b'makam acha b'yir shleish tzimtzumim. Eile barichos l'kav v'sichlein odal, he says, I will write elsewhere. He writes here in the brackets, an explanation for what these forms of withholding are. But why? What's the point of all this? Why would the Rebbeinu Shel Olam go through all of this hiding and concealment and withholding of himself? Towards what end? Why did he do it? Why does he do it? This isn't past tense. Right? Creation is going on right now. Tachlis kol hatzimtzumim, the goal of all of these withholdings and all of these constraints, for one reason, who could they livrei guf ha'adam ha'chumri, is to create us little puny humans who are crass physical beings. Towards what end? Uli'ikafya l'sitir achra, so that we can struggle and be victorious over the dark side, to borrow a term. To create an advantage of light over darkness. How? How does a human do that? When we, due to the fact that each one of us struggles with our animal soul versus our godly soul, there's this constant battle going on within each and every one of us. When we raise the level of the godly soul higher than its counterpart, the animal soul, okay? Ulevushel, and its garments. What are its garments? Remember, each one of these souls has three garments, three ways of expression. They are thought, speech, and action. So when the thought, speech, and action of the godly soul are victorious over the thought, speech, and action of the animal soul, we have created more light in the world than darkness at that moment. When we're able to sublimate and raise all of the senses of the body to Hashem Himself, as explained earlier, that's what the earlier chapters were about. That was the purpose. That's why Hashem had to go through all of these processes of limiting his presence, of concealing himself. All of this, the entire game of hide and seek, is all so that we can battle evil. and be victorious. Now, v'hine k'mayim aponim l'ponim. There's a rule. The rule is that when we look at somebody, we could see in their face how we feel about them, right? K'mayim aponim, it's like water. A reflection is like water. K'mo yisha HaKadosh Baruch Hu kal v'yochel niyach v'silu v'tzad echad. Derech Moshe. Just like Hashem, Kaviyochel, allowed, he set aside to one side, as, in the way of a parable, as Eirei HaGadol is tremendous, intense light, Habilti Tachlis, which in essence is limitless. V'gon Zayin, he concealed it, V'histira, and he hid it, B'gimel Min Tzimtzumim Shainim, with so many forms of concealment. And, V'hakel B'shvil Ahavas Adam, he did it all because he loves us. He did it because he wants us to deserve and earn that reward. He did it for Ahavas Adam Atachtoin, for the love of the lowly human being, Ula Loisel Hashem, to be able to elevate him towards Hashem. Ki Ahava Dechekas Abasi, it's a play on the words of Gemara. Love pushes away flesh. What he's saying here is, there's no logic to this. This doesn't make sense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would allow this to take place. There's no reason. It's an incredible disgrace. But that's, love is not reasonable. So Ahava is Dechekes Abbas, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows himself to get set aside because of his love for us. So he says, if Hashem is willing to go through that, now, we'll go through what? Go through the fact that there are hundreds of college professors who each and every day spend their entire day teaching that there is no God. Right? That's the whole goal, is there is no God. And allows the world to continue to go on, and through all of this embarrassment and disgrace and anti-God talk and all this stuff, that's how concealed God is in the world. Why does he allow himself to be disgraced so? So that a Jew will struggle with his evil inclination and be victorious and be able to win. Right? Alachas kama v'kama b'kifli kiflayim. How much more so? Many times over. Li'ein kates to infinity. Ki roi lo'odam gamken. Doesn't it make sense that if God is willing to do that for us, that we too should be willing, lohaniach v'lazev, kol ha-shaloi, that we should be willing to leave behind and to neglect everything that we have, min nefesh v'adbasa, from our own soul to our own flesh, v'lahavkir ha-koil, and to negate everything in life, for what? B'shvil ha-davka v'yisbarach, to be able to cleave to Hashem, v'dveika chasheika v'chafetza, with yearning, with love, with thirst, and that we not allow anything to get in the way from inside or outside. Loy guf, not our body, v'loy nefesh, and not our animal soul, not our desires, v'loy mamon, wow, not even money, v'loy ishu banim, not even a wife and children. Meaning, if somebody were to say to us, what are we doing here? Why do we exist? We exist to be able to lekafi l'sitrach, to be able to overcome darkness and turn it into light. And if God is willing to go through the most horrific forms of disgrace throughout history, to this very day, and perhaps the worst in our own very day, just for us, what have we been willing to do for God? What are we willing to set aside of our dignity, of our desires, for Hashem's sake? He was willing to totally disgrace himself for our sake. What are we willing to do for God? Okay, so that's the premise. Now we understand what he was doing in chapter 48. Okay, chapter 48, he described the process that the Arizal talks about in the Rebbeinu Shel Olam withholding his presence to the world. Because imagine if the first time anybody sinned, a lightning bolt came out of the sky and knocked them dead. It's unlikely that people would continue sinning very much. So the only reason there's challenge in the world is because it's not open, it's not explicit. I mean, people can run around doing things and continue to get away with it. But that is an incredible Chilul Hashem. Why does Hashem allow the Chilul Hashem to continue? For us. We need to mirror that and figure out what part of us are we willing to set aside in deference to God's setting himself aside in deference to us. And what he's setting up in talking about all this esoteric stuff is he was setting up the challenge of Kemayim Panim al Panim. That's the whole issue, is look in the mirror. That's what this is. Perek Mem Ches and Mem Tes is take out a mirror. Look what God did for us. In the same way, what are we willing to do for Hashem? That's what Perek Mem Ches and Mem Tes is. Is a mirror, mirror therapy. Kamayim Panim al Panim. I've shared with you just on that a total, speaking in parentheses, first Bel Zeruv, Shulam of Bells, says, why does the Navi use Kamayim Panim al Panim, like looking in water, you see a reflection? Why doesn't he say, like a mirror?
Silver.
Huh?
Silver mirror.
No, it's a different part.
Bend, because you have to bend.
So he says, Sir Shulam Belzer says, that because in order to see somebody else's reflection, in order to see your reflection in water, you have to be able to look down. When you're looking straight ahead, the only one you'll see is yourself. So you have some humility, you'll see somebody else. All right. Now he introduces a fabulous concept, that he elaborates a great deal about in Sefer Likutei Torah. And it's, once you learn it, this is a davening changer now, okay? This is practical, you know, as down to earth as it gets. And he asks the obvious question. U'bezeh yuvan, two lines from the bottom on Samech Tes. Now with this we can understand with beauty, with taste, the takanas chachamim, that which our sages established, shetiknu birchas krishma, who established brachas of shema, shtayim lefonel, two brachas beforehand, b'chulu, d'lechayra in lem shaychis klal im kriyashma. L'chayra, they have no relationship with shema. Look at the brachas. It's almost funny. If you look at the subject that's spoken about in the blessing, every other bracha, every other mitzvah, you say al netilas lulav, you pick up your lulav. Right? You say laniach tefillin, you put on your tefillin. You look at Birchas Krishma, you're talking about the angels, you're talking about creation. What's up with that? Talk about Shema. They seem to be completely unrelated. Top of 138. It seems that they have no relationship with the Shema, like the Rajba and the other Poskim address. They try addressing what's the relationship between the subject matter in the Birchas Krishma and Shema. Why are they called Brachas of Shema? Why are they Dafka before the Shema? Ella, he says, Mishum She'ikar Krishma. The main purpose of the Shema is L'kayim b'cholavavcha, is to fulfill this pasuk that it says you should love God with your entire heart. B'shnei Yitzrach, as the Mishnah says, it means to love Him with your both inclinations, with the good inclination and with the evil inclination. D'ainu lamed, what does it mean in simple pshat? Lamed neged kol minei me'avas Hashem. That means battle. It means we're going to have to fight. That's what it means. To serve God with your evil inclination means, not like we discussed this past week in Etchel Shudas, but the simple pshat is, I am going to battle my evil inclination. That's how you serve God with your evil inclination, by fighting it, okay? Ulevavcha, and with your whole heart, means, hey, no isha v'yiladeh, means your wife and children. Meaning, shalavavai shalodam kshurabem b'tivai. It means even my wife and children, who naturally, inborn, I love them, I have to serve Hashem even with that component of myself, which is my wife and children. Now, what's he talking about? So I'll tell you a story, which I believe is the story that can illustrate this, and none of us should ever be tested. The Vaitz Nerov writes in his introduction to Mikadshei Hashem that when he was in Auschwitz, that the Nazis rounded up several thousand teenagers that had to be sent off to the crematorium. And the fellow came over to the Vaitz Nerov and said to him, "I have diamonds. They took my son, my only child. I have the ability to bribe the guard to get him out. But I know that there's a quota. And if there's a quota, that means that in my child's place, they're going to put another Jewish child. Am I allowed to redeem him?" So the Vaitz Nerov said to him, "I can't answer the question. I don't have my svarim here. I've never researched this. I can't answer the question." So the guy said, "Well, Rabbi, you really don't have a choice. I need to know now." He said, "I can't answer the question." He said, "Well, then you're telling me that I can't do it." He said, "I'm telling you nothing." He said, "Then what you're saying is I'm not allowed to do it." He got nowhere with the guy. And the fellow did not do it. And the next day, they took these kids, they killed them. And the next day, this guy was walking around. The Vaitz Nerov says that he heard him saying, "Avraham Avinu only put Yitzchak on the altar, but it never really happened." And he said, "He did it." You know, Avraham Avinu could talk big. He says, "I didn't redeem my son because the Rav was unwilling to paskin that I'm allowed to do it." That's taking the natural love that one has for a wife and for children and saying that God reigns supreme. That means that if a situation comes up, that God comes first. K'meshama Chazal, the pasuk refers to a pasuk that speaks to the fact that love is inborn to us. And nonetheless, we're called upon from Hashem to love Him with that component that loves. And that fact that Hashem says that we're to love Him with nafshecha, with our entire soul, uma'idcham, with our whole ma'id, kimashmoi. What does that mean? Chaya, with our life, umazayna, with our money, lahavkir ha'koyil b'shmil ha'avas Hashem. We have to be willing to be able to let it all go, to give it away, if it comes down to it, for ha'avas Hashem. He says, ve'ech yoveh adam ha'chumra l'midazu. How is it possible for us, physical humans, to come to such an exalted level of love? How is it possible? So our sages, in their infinite wisdom, established the brachas of Krishma to get our minds to be able to comprehend how it is possible to bring ourselves to that level of love. How? Visham nema v'nishna, because there it says, and is repeated by Rikhus at great length, Inyan v'seder ha'malachim ha'imdim, the order of the angels that stand b'rum ha'ilam in the highest worlds, l'idi g'dulas shalakadosh baruch hu. We read about Kodesh, 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 and the Yafanim v'chayas ha'kodesh, all these celestial angels that were created, as we discussed earlier, in Olam HaBriya. Ek shekulam b'telem l'idi yisbaruch, they are all completely and totally nullified to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mashmim b'yir, and they stand all day long. Their only purpose is to say Kaddish, Kaddish, Baruch Kavod Hashem, Magdish, and Vayimim B'Yir Kaddish, and they're there, and they exalt, and they sing, and they cry, and they do all of these things. Saying Kaddish, Kolei Meshu, Muvdo Mehem. What does the word Kaddish mean? He says that what it means is that He, the Almighty, is completely separated from them. Ve'enim Islavish Mem Bebchinis Gilui. But despite all of their attainments and all of the hasagas that the angels are able to have, HaKadosh Baruch Hu never is revealed to them in an open, explicit way. Where is he revealed? Elamale kol ha'aretz kivayda. As we discussed a few prakim ago, the angels ask, "I am a kaim kivayda. Where is God's presence revealed?" It's revealed where a Jew is studying Torah. It's revealed where a Jew is putting on tefillin, where a Jew is giving tzedakah. That's where our Kadosh Baruch Hu. The angels can't touch it. We can. He kinesis Yisrael lemaila. That's the peoplehood of Klal Yisrael above Yisrael lemata, and the people of Klal Yisrael here above. Can you smell the elves we discussed a few prakim ago? So you bring up this concept of what's going on in Olam Abriya, that you have these amazing fiery angels that they can consume the entire world in one breath. And despite all of their closeness and all their greatness, Hashem is Kaddish. Kaddish, Kaddish, Kaddish. Three Kaddishes for each one of the world. That's how removed he is. But not to the Jew. Chas v'shalom, Kaddish Baruch Hu is Kaddish for us also. But we have closer access to revealed godliness than do the highest of angels. And it continues. V'chein ha'ifanim v'chayis ha'kodesh, and so too these angels which are called ha'ifanim, v'chayis ha'kodesh, and these animals of kedusha, whatever these terms mean in the forms of angels, you got to see the movie. Baraj gadol, with this tremendous noise, they say baruch kved Hashem im kaimai. Hashem is blessed in his place. Why? V'fisha en yodim v'masigim v'kaimai, because they don't know where his place is. They can't grasp it. Because an angel can't grasp what a Jew can grasp. I told you that. That's why Rabbi Shor said that. That's why we say before Kiddush, we say Tzeischem L'Shalom. So it's that nice. You go and you invite the angels in, and then you tell them to leave. Why do you do that? He says, because an angel can never pick up a cup of wine and perform the mitzvah of Kiddush. He says it's insensitive to make Kiddush in the presence of an angel who was so nice to you. He came home, he gave you a bracha. Don't say Kiddush in his presence. It's not nice. It's something that he can never do. Ki hu levad emar mekodesh, because the Rebbeinu Shlom is removed. And then the achakat bracha shniya. That's the first bracha. The first bracha is all about the angels and the ifanim, these exalted beings who can't come close, they can't touch. Then we come to the second bracha of Krishna. Where are we going to make a pause here? Maybe we should do it here. All right, we'll continue here next week. Ratz Hashem.